Mark chapter number 4 this morning. Thank y'all for singing. And you know, you professional singers, when something happens while you're singing, then you just adjust on the fly. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful this morning. I love that song. I'm glad sin met grace. That's what we preach around here, is that we're all sinners. We all are in absolute condemnation under, amen, the wrath of God. But thank God sin can meet grace in your life today. It's still doing that. I know that we oftentimes, I know myself, you'll hear me say a lot of times, referencing the day in which we're living in, how wicked it is, how hard it is, how vile it is, and all of that is so. All of that is so. But Tim was reading through the book of Romans this morning and several times reference how what he's reading about is a reflection even of our own nation and all the wickedness that is in it. But I'm glad grace can still save even in these days. Amen. These are wicked days. Days have always been evil. And I know in comparison, as far as what we know, this is all that we know. And I do believe in the last days that iniquity does abound, and we're seeing that. But I'm glad where sin did abound, grace doth much more abound. And that's the blessed hope that we have. Stand with me. We're going to read just a few verses. And we've slowed down in our study through Mark. We'll speed it back up once we get through this section. And but we just have felt the need to kind of slow down and really focus in on some of the things that Christ has said in light of the importance he placed upon this particular parable and message and lesson that he gave. If you do not understand the parable of the sower, you will never understand truth, period. You'll never comprehend the Christian life. It'll never mean anything to you. You'll always trample truth. You'll always discard truth. Truth will never find a rooting place in your life. It'll always be choked out of your life if you do not understand just how serious the Lord is being about what a man is conveying concerning what a man does with truth and the Word of God. And so we come to his explanation in Mark chapter number 4 again. Begin reading in verse number 14. We're only interested in verse 16 and 17. The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, and we get into our second ground, our second soil, the second type of heart that Christ is going to deal with in regard to truth. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, notice that word, afterward. Afterward, he said, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You can be seated this morning. We preached last week on the thought, begun the thought, what kind of heart do you have, and preached on the wayside heart, on the thought, watch out for the wayside heart. This morning I want to deal with the stony ground and bring a message to you just out of these two verses, verse 16 and 17, on the sad tale of the stony heart. The sad tale of the stony heart. Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you thankful, Lord, one more time, an opportunity, the privilege we have to enter in through these doors into this place among the people of God, the Word of God in our hands. Lord, the songs of Zion, Lord, upon our lips as has been sung by us and to us today. Lord, what a blessing, Lord, this has been already. We sure have needed it. Lord, the Sunday school hour, and Lord, the emphasis again upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that He not only offers peace, but is the peace that, Lord, our soul so desperately longs for. Lord, we thought while Tim was teaching this morning, Lord, no wonder Jesus said He was giving us peace, not that the world gives, but Lord, that can only come from Him. Lord, we're thankful we know something about that. Lord, thank You for the peace that abides in our heart in days of turmoil, in days of discouragement, in days, Lord, of many things that weigh heavy upon our hearts and our minds. We're thankful, Lord, that underneath it all, Lord, is an abiding peace, Lord, that is there, and that, Lord, we need not worry and, Lord, have angst or fear or dread about what holds on tomorrow. Lord, I pray now that You'd help us this morning as we try to preach and take these thoughts You've laid upon our heart, Lord, concerning the stony ground and the stony heart, Lord, what it represents. And I pray it go forth this morning, Lord, as a warning, Lord, as a message, Lord, to get somebody's attention today, lest they miss the truth of the gospel and perish in their sin and die and go to hell. Lord, You don't want that for them. We don't desire that for them. And I pray today the Spirit of the Lord would awaken them and that, Lord, they would run to Jesus and embrace the gospel message today. And all that You do for us, we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've given consideration again this week in looking at this study and preparing for the Lord's Day in this very moment of time. I've been considering again this great parable as it was initially preached to what verse 1 said is a great multitude. And in this great multitude, I can imagine it in my mind as I've thought about it, that you would have had all sorts of differing kinds of people, people from different cities, different backgrounds. Maybe there are multiracial people that are represented there in that great multitude. And they have showed up to hear the Lord preach and hear His message, maybe to see a miracle. And the Lord there that day looks out over the crowd. And what a crowd that it was. And there have been many folk that would have divided that crowd, maybe based upon race, maybe upon their economic status, maybe their genders, maybe they had divided them based upon their education or a multitude of ways in which society tries to divide us even today into different segments and groups. But when Christ looked out over the crowd, He did not see their race. He did not see their economic standing. He did not see their political affiliation. Christ seen four different types of people. And He reveals this and divides all of the great multitude, and thus in doing so is dividing everyone in this congregation this morning into four different groups. He doesn't see necessarily your gender. He doesn't see our race. He doesn't see, amen, a lot of the things that we hold in regard to people and what we know them. Christ divides them based upon what they did in receiving the truth of the Word of God. And that's the only way that Christ ever sees anyone. And really it would boil down to those that have received and retained, or those that have received and ultimately rejected the truth of the Word of God. And so today you fall in either of those categories, and yet He describes it in four different ways. And in doing so, we've been preaching on what kind of heart do you have. Amen. We see the sower goes out and he sows, and the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, amen, He's doing His sowing ministry through men of God, through pastors and evangelists and missionaries. And He's doing His sowing through the life and responsibility of Christian parents, sowing into their children. And He's doing this through soul winners and children of God being a witness of the power of the gospel and the saving word of the Scripture. Amen. As you work your job and live your life, and in everywhere you go, in every opportunity He gives, amen, to be able to speak the word of God to somebody. I watched Brother Mike and listened to Brother Mike on yesterday in the nursing home as he took the word of God and he sowed it upon the hearts of those elders that are in our community, warning them there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shine. And so Mike on yesterday was being a sower of the word of God. And so we all understand that there's nothing wrong with the sower. Amen. That being the Lord Jesus Christ and the different ways He is broadcasting the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is the Word of God. It's inspired. It's preserved. It's perfect. It's priceless. It, amen, is something that is of great importance to the sower. We understand that as Christ gives this parable, amen, that what produces fruit or doesn't produce fruit is determined upon the soil. It's determined upon the ground that the seed has fallen into. And we've emphasized, and we emphasize again today, and we'll emphasize it through every message, that, amen, the sower was not particular about where he sowed the seed. He'll give any ground an opportunity. He'll give, amen, every heart and every type of person a chance to do something with the seed of the Word of God. Amen. He doesn't have an elected and a selected crowd that he is only interested. Oh no, he just broadcasts the seed in every direction. Amen. Let it fall upon every heart and every life. Amen. What graciousness is in our great sower this morning. And so in the verses that we've come to, verse 16 and 17, as we've already dealt with the wayside heart, we come to the second type of heart identified by Christ as stony ground. As stony ground. The stony ground in verse 16. As we read this, as we read the initial preaching of the message in the opening of the chapter and read his explanation of it in verse number 16, the Bible said, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness." And so I noted here that verse 16 would appear to be productive. The stony ground would appear to be productive if it ended with a period in verse 16, Brother Riley. Amen. It would have ended with that individual being glad. Amen. Those of us watching this would be rejoicing. Amen. It would appear as though there had been a success upon, amen, this ground known as the stony ground. But verse 17 leaves us amazed. Verse 17 leaves me, amen, dumbfounded. Verse 17 leaves me sad-hearted. Amen, at how quickly things have changed. Amen, from one verse to the next. Amen, one verse looks like, buddy, they have got it. Amen, verse 16 looks like, amen, the sower has won the victory on the stony ground. Amen, but when verse 17 comes around, the sower, amen, is looking at, amen, ground upon which the seed has sprung up. Amen, and yet has remained fruitless and worse than fruitless. Amen, it is left scorched and withered. And my friend, absolutely ruined. Amen, I call this morning the sad tale of the stony ground. A sad tale of the stony heart. Amen, oh my friend, I believe there are those that, amen, would be depicted in this stony ground. Amen, they come to church, say, amen, they hear the word of God, they hear the scripture. And by the way, may I say something this morning in light of that? Amen, when we read each of these different types of souls and grounds and read about these hearts Brother Mike, every one of them, Christ said, when they hear the word. They are not hearing falsehoods. They are not being led on tangents. They are not being led astray down some path that a man is going to lead into error. Oh no, they are hearing the truth. They are hearing the Word of God. Amen. The rejection and the choking and the trampling of this message. Amen. It's not the doctrines of the Mormons and the Muslims and the Hindus and Scientology. Oh no. Amen. It is the seed of the Word of God. It is true. Amen. That they have been privileged to have heard and had sown into their heart. Amen. I'm glad this morning that, amen, the message I preach, not just because I preach it, amen, but that it comes from God. It is not error. Amen. It contains nothing but truth in it today. Life-changing truth. It contains fruit-producing truth. Amen. It produces today. Amen. It contains today. Amen. Eternal, valuable, important. Amen. Life-giving truth in it. Amen. Amen. So they hear the Word of God. And upon hearing it, the stony heart, amen, seems to be embracing it. Seems like that it is falling upon good ground. Amen. But through observation, as Christ will indicate over, amen, a period of time, it bears out, amen, that it was all received in vain. It was all received, my friend, amen, without any depth, without any life change, without any life-giving, fruit-producing power. Amen, the stony heart, what a sad tale. Amen, what a sad tale to, amen, that I, in my mind through 25 years of being saved and preaching, that my friend, my mind can go back and I see the messages that went out to some and they would even walk the aisle and shed some tears and my friend, it would seem as though they were excited that, amen, they had found what they had been looking for, but they no more meant business with Christ as, amen, as any other sinner in town. They, amen, were either caught up in the emotion, they, amen, and maybe I've seen them get in trouble, they, amen, and so to try, amen, not to get a whipping from mom or dad, they'd make another profession of faith and think that that would be the band-aid that they would need for their life. And for so many reasons we can talk about, amen, why people respond to it. And my friend, get glad about the gospel message. Amen, only to find out that, amen, in the end they were left in ruin. In the end they were left no better. And the wayside heart or the thorny ground, they, amen, had no eternal change made in their life. And no spiritual fruit, my friend, did abound. And my friend, it was a profession without a possession. Amen. That left them in great trouble. The sad tale of the stony heart. And notice with me several truths in this text about Christ's explanation of how this heart goes from gladness to sadness. How in the world can someone, amen, go from the heights of seeming joy to, amen, leaving themselves and everybody around them, amen, saddened by their fateful end? Notice with me this morning, first of all, the stony hearts, amen, are those who are superficial in reception. They are superficial in reception. In fact, the very words that are used to describe this kind of heart, this kind of ground, the Bible said, Christ said, and these are they, amen, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. And when we read that, we picture a portion of the field, Brother A.L., Amen. That is just filled with heaps of stones. Stones everywhere upon the surface. But when you look back in the initial preaching of this message in verse number five, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. Notice that phrase, not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And so the ground, the stony ground, is not, hey man, the gravel yard just down the road here that, hey man, they're just mounds and mounds of rock. No, hey man, it is stony ground, but has a thin layer of soil, a very minuscule amount of earth that, hey man, is upon the surface, but just below the surface. Hey man, if you was to rake away, my friend, the soil, it wouldn't be long until, hey man, you began to uncover that, hey man, that stony ground in which, hey man, the seed springs up but for a moment. Amen, but is scorched and withers because of, amen, what is underneath the surface. Superficial in reception. Amen, and so the very nature, the very core of this heart, amen, is only interested in that is superficial and that'll bear out. Amen, not only in their reception, but also in their rejection of what they have received. Amen, they're only worried about how they appear. They are only worried in superficial things that, amen, have no eternal value, no depth. Amen, they can't think in a way of any amount of depth. Amen, they can't reason things out. There's no depth to their understanding. There is no interest in, amen, learning anything, amen, about the Word of God and about what it is to live for God. They are merely superficial in their reception. Amen, their reception of the Word. Notice, amen, there seems to be some very positive, statements being made about this reception, the Word, and the stony heart. Amen. Number one, consider that the stony heart, it received the Word immediately. That would be a positive thing. Would you agree with that? Amen. To hear the Word and say, buddy, that's right. And embrace it and receive it. Amen. Oh, they received it immediately. They did not wait till the following weekend. They did not wait for another opportunity. Amen. They walked the aisle immediately upon hearing their condition. Amen. Immediately upon hearing about, amen, what this gospel seed has done for others, amen, they receive and have an immediate reception of the message. They received it not only immediately, but they received it willingly. Amen. Notice what the Word of God said. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 16, who when they have heard the Word, immediately receive it. Receive it. It wasn't crammed down their throat. Amen. It wasn't something they were forced to do. It wasn't something mama made them do and daddy made them do. Amen. It was something that, amen, even had a willingness, amen, in their heart about, amen, responding to. Amen. You know what I've learned in being a preacher of the gospel these years? Amen. You can't make anybody get saved. Amen. A man forced to make a profession against his will, amen, remains a twofold child of hell. Amen. He'll have no hope. He'll have no salvation. There'll be no eternal life. There'll be no blessedness. Amen. Nobody's ever been saved who did not receive the Word of God willingly. Amen. And when we look at this stony ground, amen, there appears to be a willing reception of the gospel. Notice with me, they received it immediately and willingly, but they received it gladly. Notice what the Word of God said. Immediately receive it with gladness. Woo! Hallelujah. They shout and they cry it. And buddy, I'm telling you, it would appear, Gerald, there is a joy in their countenance. It would appear that there is a gladness in their spirit. It would appear that, amen, their reception of truth has, amen, produced something that only truth can produce. Amen, they're emotional. By the way, amen, now you'll have to choke on this for a minute. Amen, they are emotional. They're easily moved by their emotions. Their response in receiving the Word of God gladly, amen, is being received not in realness and not acknowledging their sin and not even truly coming in repentance and faith to Christ. Amen, they are coming because they are emotional. That same emotionalism is what's going to drive them away. That same emotionalism with, amen, the fuzzy feelings wear off and the goosebumps go away. Amen, that same emotionalism that, amen, in the moment, amen, everybody looking on goes, hallelujah. Did you see how loud they shouted? Did you see how big their tears were when they made their profession? But it's emotionally made. Buddy, I'm telling you what looks like to be positive. Amen. Christ has a very sad tale to give concerning the stony heart. Amen. Superficial in reception, may I say. And though they received the word in this way, immediately, willingly, gladly, it was all superficial. You see, the stony ground represents the heart and the life that is nothing but an outward show. Amen. It's nothing but an outward show. They won't ever reveal to you all the hardness that is within. They won't reveal to you anything more than, amen, what is represented on the surface of their life. Amen. And buddy, I'm telling you, this is a dangerous, amen, way to try to be religious. This is the religion of the Pharisees. This is the religion of those that, amen, want to try to do some outward things to impress men and to seem to be something they are not. When in fact, in the very core of their being, amen, they only live for the superficial. Amen. Are you listening? Are you listening? Amen. Superficial in reception. Amen. Number two, only got 3 points, so y'all hang on. Amen. Superficial in reception. And notice with me the sad tale of the stony heart. Amen. This stony heart are those not only superficial in reception, but they are shallow in root. They're shallow in root. Listen to what Christ said. Amen. We immediately leave verse number 16. Amen. With a semicolon. Amen. We'd be tempted to rejoice. We would be tempted to run a lap around the building. Praise God. Amen. Somebody else got saved. Somebody else just came in the family of God. Amen. It looks like that there has been a successful reception of the seed. Christ said, hold your horses. Don't run your lap yet. Just observe. Amen. Now, what is the problem that Christ is going to point out? There's an emphasis that is made in this section of the parable about a shallow root system. They have a shallow root system. Amen. Again, and I know this is closely connected, amen, to the first point, that they're superficial in reception. Amen. And you see that on the surface, but amen, if you can peel back away, amen, the minuscule bit of earth and dirt that there is, amen, it would reveal that, amen, as the seed has been received, it immediately springs up. And Brother John, it looks like, buddy, we are in for it. They're off to a good start. This is going to be amazing. Christ said, I see what the human eye cannot see. And they are not going to make it because they have a shallow root system. Amen. Shallow in root. No depth. No depth. Let me give it to you the way, quickly, the way I see it in the verse. It seemed like the Lord kind of put it together in our heart that this shallow root system in the stony ground and the stony heart, it reveals a threefold lacking. If you're shallow in root, amen, the root of faith, amen, the roots of the gospel, if they're shallow in your life, amen, you're going to be lacking three things according to what Jesus said. Number one, you're going to be lacking penetration. Amen. Notice how Christ words this in our text. And have no root in themselves. And have no root in themselves. Amen. Their roots, oh, watch it now. Their root system goes like this, not like this. It grows outward. It grows, amen, just below the surface. Amen. But there is no depth to them. There is no penetration into their heart. Amen. The gospel never penetrates their life. Amen. It never gets down on the inside of them. Amen. Can I say this morning? Amen. The gospel is to say, amen, to change lives from the inside out. Yeah. Amen. And if you're going to be a stony heart, amen, superficial in your reception, amen, all that is going to bear out in time. Yeah. Amen. When it is revealed that the Word of God makes no penetration in your life. Amen. Amen. Faith is not in their heart. The power of a changed life does not flow from within. That's why they're only interested in the outside. They're worried about what's my hair look like? What's my armpit smell like? Hey man, what's the world going to think about what I'm wearing? And all they are, hey man, is on the surface. And that shallow root system, hey man, that shallow root system is evidence that a word of God never got inside of them.
Amen.
Amen. You hear all these old timers around this church testify about the day God saved them and changed their life. Brother Tim taught on it this morning. You know how that change took place? The gospel had to penetrate down in there. But Tim, it wasn't you that changed you. If it wasn't me that changed me. Oh no, friend, hey, amen, listen, I lived in superficiality. I lived a shallow life, amen, before I got saved. But, amen, thank God for the day the sower came by one more time, amen, and sowed the seed. And somehow, some way, amen, my life was changed when the Word of God penetrated my heart. That's why you can't move. You can't move somebody that's truly been born again. You can't stop them from growing you. Amen. All through the Word of God, we're told, amen, all about the blessed man that has received and admired it and has had the Word of God sown into his heart. Psalm 1, amen, talks about that man being like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Amen. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because There's a day the Word of God penetrated their heart. Amen. Let me ask you a question. The Word of God ever penetrated your heart? Have you ever been stabbed by the Word of God? Has the Word of God I'm about to preach. Brother Gerald, you remember the day the gospel, amen, the gospel stake, amen, got planted down into your heart. I'm talking about penetration. God help us in this day. Amen. Of a shallow religion that I want to go to church and all that. I'll live a certain way on Sunday, but on Monday I'll play my old music. On Tuesday I'll do things the way I want to do it. Amen. Listen, God didn't save me. Amen. For me to live for Him on Sunday. Oh no, friend. God's something much deeper than that. Much deeper than that. Thank God for the day a Word of God pierced my heart. No penetration is evidence. Evidence of a stony heart. Does the Word of God ever prick you? Listen, that's what the Lord asked Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. He said, hey, big boy, you think you're something. It's hard to kick against the pricks, ain't it? See, you see, stony heart, amen, is resistant, amen, to the piercing power of the Word of God. They're only willing to go so far. They're only willing to go so deep. Amen, they'll have a religion that's a mile away, and it won't be 2 inches deep. Boy, I'm preaching this morning. The Word of God ever pricked you? Do you ever felt the entanglements, amen, of the Word of God's power, amen, building a root system of depth into your life? Shallow heart, the sad tale of a shallow heart, amen, of a stony heart, is that they're shallow in root. They lack penetration. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Can y'all handle another? Amen. They're lacking in saturation. Say, what do you mean? Well, you see it here just by way of meditation upon what Jesus is saying in Mark 4. But if you go over and read how Luke recorded this message, here's one of the things Luke said. He said they are lacking in moisture. Because of their shallow in root, they have a lacking of saturation. The root never taps into that supply that keeps that thing growing. Amen. Because they're all spread out wide and not deep. Amen. They lack out on the moisture. Amen. The Word of God is water. The Spirit of the Lord is water. Amen. The reason some folk today, amen, oh, when they make their profession, they'll boo-hoo and they'll cry. Amen. They'll slobber and snot it. Amen. They'll make a big show of emotionalism. They can't make it more than 6 months. You want to know why? Amen. Because they are lacking a saturation of spiritual supply.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Anybody can shoot up in a service.
Right.
Amen. You say, what are you saying? I guess what I'm saying is, amen, those that got the goods and I, amen, and I know and I try to be sensitive and understanding of the day in which we're living in. Amen. There's all sorts of distractions and things that are there, but amen, I'll be honest with you, the longer I'm around, I don't wonder if we're not just making excuses for some people.
Amen.
Now I understand you can live a carnal life and be saved. I understand that. I understand you can be a babe in Christ and be stunted in your maturity, and I understand that. But that is not, that ought to be, let me say it this way, that ought to be the exception, not the rule.
Amen.
There's a day when people got saved. Amen. Amen. Oh, God busted up the stony heart. Amen. And it enabled the Word of God to penetrate. And the depth, the evidence that there was depth to their life was longevity of holiness.
Amen.
Longevity of doing right. Longevity of a life change. Amen. Amen, that's right. Amen, you say, preacher, you ain't changed. Amen, you ain't changed these 9 years you've been up here. Amen, my boy told me some time ago, said, Daddy, you ain't changed all my life. Amen, that's been 17, 18 years. Hey, amen, how can I change? How in the world could I change? Hey, amen, if you got depth to your life,
amen.
You don't change, you just keep growing. Strength on the top side.
Amen.
Oh, y'all get ready now. Strength on the top side is evidence of depth below.
Amen.
Some of y'all always weak on the top side. It's telling on you and it's showing you are shallow in root. No relationship, the Word of God. Well, I'm busy and I'm tired and I got things to do. I can't get to it all. Amen. There ought to be something in you if you're saved. It says I can't live without a saturation of the Word of God. I got to get me a drink. I got to have something that will sustain me. That same crowd to come argue with some old saint of God who's been living for God a long time. Amen. Has a depth of life and faith and holiness and living for God. They'll come try to argue with that old saint of God about how the way they live, it just ain't the right way. You're a fool's what you are. You're a God-blessed fool. What a sad tale. Amen. I need some of them old oak trees. Some of them old palm trees. Amen. They ain't been blown over in the wind. Their faith has been deep. Amen. When you get around them, you know they've been spending some time around the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. They lack saturation.
Right.
Number three, because they lack penetration and saturation, they lack duration. Jesus, here's what Jesus said, they endure for a while. They endure for a while. In other words, they endure so long as it is convenient. They endure so long as they have goosebumps. They endure so long as, you know, it don't cost them anything and I'm getting ahead of myself. Why is that? Because Jesus said they're shallow in root. They have no root in themselves. No root in themselves. No depth. No depth. Do you have any depth today? You know how we can measure the depth of all of us this morning? What would it take to get you to quit? Family? Failure? Frustration? What would it take to knock you out? That's how deep you are. There are people that are around here that have been through, my friend, and I don't mean this irreverently, they have literally fought hell by the acres. They have been through some of the most unimaginable things that no human being ought to have to go through. They have walked the agonies of life. Hey, and my friend stayed through thick and thin, tears running down their face. Amen. They have endured the test of time. Why? But just because they have depth. People with shallow roots, they'll be in, they'll be out, they'll pop in, pop out. They pop up, they pop down. No duration. Jesus said they endure it for a time. It's a sad tale. What looked like to be authentic, what appeared to be real, what looked like was victory and answer to prayer. Just give it time, it'll bear out. How many sowers, how many men of God, how many parents, how many children of God have sown seed and it looked like, oh, buddy. Only to be crushed and broken and brought to tears all over again. Why, preacher? Because they are shallow in root. No duration. Amen. Boy, y'all are quiet. Superficial in reception. Last of all, and I'm done, swift in renunciation. Notice with me, as quickly as the stony heart received the word, it will recant the word. Jesus uses the same what are them L-Y words? Are those adjectives or adverbs? Adverbs. He uses the same adverb to describe in verse 16. Whew, immediately. Immediately. As soon as they hear, they immediately receive. But notice with me verse 17. Who when they have heard the word, I'm in verse 16, verse 17, afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately. That gets us back to their emotionalism. They're just emotional people. Now, I ain't saying God can't save emotional people, but if you come to Him in emotionalism, you'll quit on Him in that same emotionalism. Immediately. Immediately. Swiftly. They turn. Amen. Listen, they turn off. Amen. What supposedly had been turned off. They turn against what they won had turned to. And there's an immediate, a swift renunciation of their faith and their convictions. Amen. Verse 16, they'll tell you about all the things I'd never do. Yes, verse 17, just like that, everything has changed. Yep. Amen. Amen. Swift in renunciation. Let's look at this renunciation, three things, and I'm done. The reason for the renunciation. Afterward. Boy, when everything in the moment of time was feeling good, it was all right. But afterward, when the new wore off. Amen. When there wasn't no more shouting and goosebumps and a feel-good kind of service. When it began to be tightened down, when the message turned from you must be born again to now you're born again, you must live holy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. When it went from gospel to godliness. Afterward. Well, you know, they'll make things like this. I didn't sign up for this. Let me tell you who didn't sign up for your kind of religion. God didn't sign up for you. Amen. Amen. I didn't sign up for a hard life. I didn't sign up for all this reproach. I didn't sign up for this kind of godly life. Amen. What in the world was you thinking? Amen. I'm telling you today. Amen. The power of the gospel is the power to change life. Amen. I'm not talking about rules and regulations. Amen. Friend bars and standards to hit. Amen. I'm just talking about, amen, living a life and being different, willing. Amen. To bear a reproach without the camp. Jesus said afterward.
Yes, sir.
When they walked out of the service back into society, Now all of a sudden they stick out like a sore thumb. It wasn't just, Brother Charlie, I'm feeling like preaching. I just felt like, amen, I just had this feeling come across me like I could preach 3 more hours. Afterward, they leave the service. And it ain't just that they have a bad day. It's that affliction and persecution and reproach begins to abound on their life. Do not miss it now. For the word's sake. If there is a problem with religion in America today, it is preachers preaching a message that the child of God does not have to bear anything for the word's sake. We have removed, that's exactly right, easy living. And by the way, that easy believism leads to an easy livism. Somebody write that down. That was pretty good right there. That come fresh. Easy believism will turn into easy livism. You can listen to all your little worldly music about getting drunk, hanging out in the honky-tonks and the bar rooms and carrying on like a God-blessed heathen. Sing it and enjoy it and get a thrill out of it. But you let a preacher preach against it and you bow up and you burr up. You know what you're saying? You're saying, oh, I ain't going to face nothing for the word's sake.
That's right.
You know what you are? I ain't being mean today, but you know what you are? You're Stony Heart.
Amen.
You're Mr. Stony Heart. You're Miss Stony Heart. Amen. That ain't going to face anything because of the word's sake. Amen. See, they don't count the cost when they walk the aisle. They don't count the cost when they bow their knee. I know what I'm preaching. Buddy, when I got saved, amen, I knew what it was going to cost. I knew what being a Christian was. I had some, amen, around me. I had some in my life that God had let me see that I'm not talking about they were perfect, but I knew that they were real. Knew there was something different in them. I didn't want that morning I got saved. I no longer wanted what the world had. I no longer wanted what the flesh was trying to lead me down. Amen. I understood there was a better way to live. Amen. It would cost me something, but it would be worth it. The stony heart takes a look at what they face because of the word's sake and say it is no longer worth it. Swiftly they renunciate their religion. Oh, y'all gonna have a hard time right here. I can feel it. Notice not only the reason, but the reflection and the renunciation. Notice the Bible said immediately they are offended. Say, preacher, what do you mean a reflection? Here's how stony-hearted people are. They're always upset about something.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You preach the word to them. You try to sit down and counsel them from the scripture and they're always offended.
Amen.
Always upset. Always tripped up by somebody trying to take the word and offer it to them as the best alternative of the way to live.
Amen. Good preaching. Good preaching.
I ain't always lived everything that got preached to me, but I have never, are y'all listening? I'm about ready to make a bold statement. Since I've been saved, they ain't ever been a man of God give me truth that could offend me.
Right. Amen.
The day I got saved, my daddy could sit me down and tell me how I ought to live, and I never got offended at him when I got saved. If he took that book and said, son, there's a holy life and a godly way, I'll never forget my daddy sat me down Amen. The day I was getting ready to leave out for college, he set me down and he loaded my ever-loving tater wagon. Now, I ain't telling you I always lived it, but I never got offended at it.
Amen. That's right.
Psalm 119, 165, great peace.
Amen.
Have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
That's right. Amen.
Some of y'all get mad. Anytime you get rebuked, you get mad and upset.
Right.
Think your life's so hard. You know, offended people that's always offended. Chip on their shoulder. I don't believe saved folk walk around like that all the time.
No, sir.
I just can't believe how they treated me, and you're all offended about every relationship you got in life. For life, there is one denominator in that.
Yes, sir.
Amen, preacher.
Maybe it ain't everybody else.
Amen, preacher.
Maybe you're so stony-hearted, every little thing that don't go your way and you don't get every little taste of everything you want, just... I watch when people... I'm not saying you can't get offended and get crossed up, but people who's always offended, there ain't no way I'm getting close to that. Stay away from me. Amen. I wave at you from a long distance. Stony heart. The reflection in the stony heart is they're offended. The reason is, afterward, when things are not as convenient and easy, they renunciate their faith. Notice the ruin of the renunciation. Would you look back with me in verse number 6? Listen to what Jesus said when he preached about the stony ground. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. Scorched and withered. What a ruin. What a waste of soul. What a sad tale of opportunity and potential that could have been reached. But there was no cultivation. There was no preparation. There was no, let me examine the depths of my heart and see if there's some hardness down in there that needs to be busted up. No removal of stones. No. I just want to be fine on the surface. And I tell you, Jesus is not interested in the surface.
Amen.
Jesus is interested in the heart.
Amen.
And if the heart's right, everything on the surface will be exactly what it needs to be.
Amen.
The sad tale of the stony heart. What have you done with truth today? Do you have the symptoms of a stony heart? Offended? You blow up and you get mad anytime somebody preaches on your little pet sin. I ain't saying you Christians ain't got some of them. Some of us saved folk, I got things in my life. You say, oh, what are they? I wouldn't tell you what they are.
Amen.
But I don't get offended when they're preached on.
Amen.
You know what I do when they're preached on? I get on an altar and say, dear God, I need some help.
Amen.
You love me enough to send a preacher that loves me enough to preach a word that loves me enough to change my life. Ain't ever been offended. Ain't ever. Brother Mike, ain't ever been offended by the truth being preached to me since I've been saved.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
There's been some preachers get up and say things that wasn't truth. Amen. We'll have a powwow if you're going to preach error and falsehood. We'll have a powwow. But you preach that truth. You can't preach it too straight, too strong. You can't, give it to me gun barrel straight. I don't need, I'll be honest. Now, I enjoy it a little better when it's coming, Miss Mary, from a preacher that's got a good spirit about him. I've had some preachers hit me with truth, didn't have a real good spirit. Amen. Now that spirit was hard to swallow, but if it was truth, I didn't get offended at the truth.
Amen. Like about that.
Because it's the truth that matters.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You don't have symptoms of a stony heart, do you?
Amen.
While we got a good quiet atmosphere for everybody to think, how deep's your spirituality? How deep's your religion? You got a depth that's going to survive the test of time, because I got news for you. I ain't here to be doom and gloom. But as far as I can see, listening to the news and watching the direction our nation's going in, we in for some tough, tough days in the near future. Some of y'all can't handle a preacher preaching on your sin. How you going to handle it when the world starts coming after God's people? I'm going to tell you something. That's when we'll know how shallow of a ground we are. You better make sure you got the goods this morning. You ain't got a listen, you ain't got a stony heart, do you? Boy, I tell you, if I was here this morning not saved, hadn't responded to truth, I'd respond this morning. She's beginning to play. I'm praying, let's stand.